Is somebody here put a prayer request up here that says, I have a cyst on my thyroid? Okay, I figured that might have been Amanda's. Psalm 116. I'm going to look at this psalm with you this evening, and we're just going to go through it. I found this psalm yesterday. I was reading, and I was preparing, well, the night before, and then a little bit yesterday morning as well, and a little this morning also. But anyway, I was preparing my Sunday evening message. And as I was working on it, I came across this psalm. And I got to tell you, I read through this psalm, and I thought, man, this is one good psalm. And I found it very rich. And as I was doing my own personal Bible reading, I found it to be a real blessing. We've been talking about prayer on Wednesday night for the past several weeks. And I want you to notice here again in verse 1 and 2. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Isn't it a blessing that God hears us? Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Because I know that God is going to incline his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Now at this time, when this psalmist was at rest, men that he had trusted lied about him. They were disloyal to him. Look at verse 11. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Evidently somebody had lied about him. Now, which ultimately this created trouble for him. Now that deception almost cost him his life. Look what it says. You know, lying about somebody is an awful thing. Just an awful thing. Anyway, look at verse 3 and 4. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. But he called upon the name of the Lord, verse 1 and 2. I'll read it again. I love the Lord because he hath inclined my voice and my supplication because he hath inclined mine ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Now, you can do this if you want to. But if you go through here, you never know when you read Psalm 51, all the personal I's, all the personal pronouns. If you read this psalm, now I counted them, and I got around 30 times that the word I, my, and me are used in here. I might have missed a few, so I'm going to say around 30. I might have counted one twice. But it's very personal. Now, even if you just look at the first four verses, how many times you find I, me, and my just in those four verses. Now, what it's doing is it's expressing his praise to the Lord. And the writer borrowed from other psalms, especially Psalm 18, Psalm 27, which is a lot of people's favorite psalm, Psalm 27, Psalm 31, and Psalm 56. And it appears he also knew the text of King Hezekiah's prayer in Isaiah chapter 37 and chapter 38. Now, as the psalmist reflected on his life and on this life-threatening experience that he had, he discovered several reasons why the Lord delivers from danger and things like that. Now, why does the Lord deliver us? Let me give you five things that I think I found in this psalm from the psalmist here. First of all, he delights to answer his children's prayer. Verses 3 and 4. He said, then sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Now, the writer could not trust himself for deliverance, verse 3. Nor could he trust the people around him, because some of them evidently were liars in verse 11. But he knew that he could trust the Lord and call upon him for help. He said that in verse 2, he said it in verse 13, and he said it in verse 17. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. And then in verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. You know he's going to call on, don't you? The name of the Lord. He says it over and over and over again in those particular verses. Now, he's in a bad way. You read verse 3 and 8 and 15, and it seems like to him death was inevitable, so he calls on the name of the Lord. Now, let me make some application here. When through no fault of his own, and he was lied about, and there is no reason to believe that that was of any fault of his own. Through no fault of his own, sometimes we find ourselves in great danger. But you know what we can do? Exactly. We can call upon the name of the Lord. Now, we have been studying trials and thorns and consequences on Sunday evening for the past several weeks. But listen, so a trial is one thing, a consequence is another thing, and you deal with them a different way. But I'm going to tell you something. When through no fault of your own, something comes into your life, you know what you can always do? Call upon the name of the Lord. And you know what God delights to do? God delights to answer his children's prayers. Now I want you to notice something else here. Secondly, verses 5 through 11, especially in verse 5, he is merciful and gracious. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. God's name represents God's character, and he is gracious, and he is righteous, and he is compassionate, and he is powerful. And I like the way he starts in verse 5 there. Gracious is the Lord, our righteousness, yea, our God. Our God is merciful. He's probably testifying to a group of people and probably at the sanctuary. If you look at verse 14, and that's why I say that, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of his people. Well, they would have been assembled together probably at the sanctuary. Verse 18, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. So that's probably where this is happening. Now, I want you to go back to verse 6. The Lord preserveth the simple. The simple there does not refer to ignorant or superstitious people, but to those that have childlike faith. These are childlike believers with sincerity and with integrity, people who dare to believe that God means what he says without this at the end of it. Yeah, I know God said that, but. Because that's not the kind of faith they had here. The Lord did even more than deliver him from death. I want you to notice verse 7. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. But then he also says all of this. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, and now watch, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Now that describes some of that bounty. From death, tears, help, and it prevented him from stumbling again. And then he said he walked with him in verse 9. I will walk before the Lord. Now, verse 11 and 12, you see how he says verse 11? See how he starts it? I said in haste. You know who he reminds me of when he said that? Elijah. I'm the only one left. No, Elijah, that's not true. He said in haste, I said in haste, all men are liars. Well, all men aren't liars, but I'm sure he had those that lied about him. So it was like, all men are liars. Well, that's a little overreaction. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? See that personal pronoun there again, me? Now he says, I can't trust in men, but I can trust in the Lord. Now listen, in the presence of danger and in the presence of pain, we often say things we don't mean, don't we? Don't shake your head. But the Lord sees our hearts and he knows what we really believe. And the psalmist held to his faith, even though he said what he said. He said, I said in haste. The Lord ignored what he had said with his lips and responded to what he said in his heart. I said in my heart. Now, Paul quotes verse 10 in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Not only is he gracious and merciful, now look what he says in verse 12. He holds his children precious. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, after he had been delivered, the psalmist wanted to express his gratitude to the Lord and did so in four ways. First of all, verse 17 said, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. He brought a thank offering to the Lord at the sanctuary. Now, if you go back and don't turn there, but if you go back to the book of Leviticus, you'll find where the thank offering is mentioned. But shouldn't we offer the Lord a thanks offering all the time? Shouldn't that just be like part of our life? Just something that we do is thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Secondly, as part of the sacrifice, the priest would pour out a portion of wine on the altar as a symbol of the worshiper's life poured out to serve the Lord. And then the priest kept back part of the offering for a feast held after the sacrifice, and then the worshiper shared the food and his joy with his family and friends. And at the feast, the psalmist called on the Lord and publicly thanked him for his mercies. Now, let me try to encourage you to do something. I think that we should be very conscious of all the goodness for us all the time. I mean, I just do. I probably told you this story because I thought it was really something. But we were riding. You were with us that day, I think, Faith, when I found a washer next to my foot. No, maybe Brittany. I don't know who was. You guys were. And we're in a snowmobile, and we got up. Now, when you leave from here and you get up to High Market, okay, it's like a little ways back to the truck. So, but we're riding along, and I was riding Mr. Case's snowmobile, and I looked down, and I saw this washer on by my foot. And I said, oh, something's falling apart. I pulled over and I looked, but nothing was falling apart, but a bolt had came loose. Now, how'd that washer get there with me not seeing that all that time? I said, thank you, Lord, for letting me see that washer there. And we got up to High Market, tightened it up. We didn't have what we needed, but we got it far enough to get all the way back to the Stewart's in Rome, where my wife, first time it's ever happened, got an ice cream while we were out snowmobile riding. All right, I've never seen anybody do anything like that before. Anyway, and I got a cup of coffee. But Mr. Quinn lives right next door, Mike and Melissa. He had one of the wrenches that I was looking at. Right, Jim? He had just the right one. Tightened it up. Away we went. The other day, I'm cutting firewood with Mr. Johnson, Johnny. And I wanted to be a blessing to him. He's been a blessing to me. And I know he heats with firewood. So I says, you bring your splitter and you cut and I'll split and you can take all the wood home. So he said, okay. So he was cutting wood for him. And I like to cut wood. I know some people don't, but I just like being in the woods cutting firewood. Anyhow, I'm splitting away, and we get ready. I says, we had quite a bit of pile. I said, I think we got enough. He heaps his truck. And I looked down, I said, you got a flat tire on your truck, John. And we're back in the woods a little ways. I says, you know, I got one of them little air pumps. I just bought this air pump a week ago, like you plug into a cigarette lighter. So I started blowing it up, and Lily was there. And she shuts it off. She goes, I hear air. Now, don't you know the hole to that tire was on the very top where you could get to it easily? And isn't it something that Johnny had a tire plug kit in his truck? Yeah, huh? That's what I said. So we took it. You know how you do it. You hone them out. And you put this. You young guys don't know how to do this. But anyway, you got a plug kit, and you stick it in there, and you glue it all up, and you're good to go. Now, I thought, why is that hole on the top of the tire and not on the bottom of the tire? You know, when I come across something as simple as that, you know what the first word out of my mouth is? Praise God. And if it had been down there, oh, and by the way, he doesn't carry a spare. He uses Michelin tires, so he doesn't figure he needs a spare. And I'm thinking, this is going to be interesting. And we keep throwing wood on the truck, and I'm like, you know, why are we keep throwing wood on this truck? But isn't those little things a blessing when they happen in your life? And if you are conscious of what God's doing for you, I think we sing that song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. I just think, and I'd like to encourage you to try to be aware that the Lord does a lot of good things for us all the time. I mean, from the littlest things, riding a snowmobile is not really, I don't know that that's a, you know, high on God's priority list that I do that, to be honest. But he still blesses. He still takes care of us. It's a wonderful thing. So this is what's going on here. Now, Jesus, let me quote you a verse in Job first. Job said, who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Now, I want you to go back here and look at verse 14 and 18. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of his people. And I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of his people. Can I tell you something? These aren't holy bribes given as a payment to God. He knew God's will cannot be inflamed by man's gifts. You can't pay God back with anything. How are you going to do that? So following the ceremony, here's my fourth thought, and the feast, the psalmist began to keep the promise that he had made to the Lord during its time of suffering and danger. And so you know what he began to do? He began to pay the vows unto the Lord now in the presence of the people. Shouldn't we be serving the Lord? Should everything that God's done for us, shouldn't I serve the Lord? Shouldn't you serve the Lord? Jesus is precious to the Father and to all believers, Peter tells us. And the Father loves us so much that he gave his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And if our Father loves us that much, He must be concerned with how we live and how we die. Now, you notice what it said in verse 15? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's precious to God. When our work on earth is done, God takes us home. You know what God does? God holds his children precious. That's my fourth thought. Fifthly, I want you to look at verse 16 again. God is faithful to his covenant. He said, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and thy son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now and in the presence of all of his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Now, I must have not had the exact verse I wanted. But anyway, somewhere in that, and I'm not going to find it right off the top of my head, he says, I am thy servant. Now that phrase is equivalent to this, I am the son of the covenant. At 8 days of age, his parents brought him to the priest, and he received the sign of the covenant and the name that his parents selected for him. Now Leviticus 12:3 tells you all about that, and also you'll find the same thing with Jesus when they brought him and John and all that. If he kept the covenant and obeyed the Lord, he had the right to come to the Lord with his needs and ask him for help. Let me say that again. Get it? If he kept the covenant and obeyed the Lord, he had the right to come to the Lord with his needs and ask him for help and expect to get it. Now, we had a lesson. Do you remember last week I said, did I teach a lesson on the hindrances of prayer? Nobody could remember if I did or not. So Josh came down with the tape, and I did preach a lesson on what hinders our prayer. I might preach it again next week just so, because you can't remember it anyway, so I might just well. But anyway, we are to be right with the Lord if we expect God to answer us. So if he kept the covenant and obeyed the Lord, if I keep God's covenant, the new covenant, and obey the Lord, you know what? I have a right to come to God, and I expect him to hear our prayers, and I expect him to answer our prayers. Believers today, we belong to God's new covenant family in Christ. That doesn't guarantee protection from all pain and all trials and all thorns, but it does mean that God is in control and he'll work in all things for our good, his glory, and even our death. Even the Lord had appointed time. Remember what Jesus said? All through John's gospel. They wanted to arrest him. They tried to arrest him. He got away. They tried to. You know what he said? My hour has not yet come. My hour is not yet come. But then it came today, after they left Gethsemane, and I preached on that Sunday morning, but anyway, he came out and he found his disciples asleep again the third time. He says, take your rest now, and then he that betrayeth me is at hand. And then he says, my hour has come. Now his hour had come. Even Jesus had an appointed time to die. Now, so do we. Now listen. They'd never crucify the Lord on their timetable. That'd been on God's timetable. Now, we can be foolish, and we can hasten the day of our death, and so may the Lord help us to end well and to be faithful. So why does God deliver us? Because he likes to answer our prayers. Because he's merciful, and he's gracious. Because he holds us precious, and because he is faithful to his covenant. Let me say something. We have a faithful God. I found that to be a blessing. I find that whole psalm, when I read it, a blessing, if you want to know the truth. I mean, verse 4, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Now, let me go back just a little bit more. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Do you see that word, inclined? You know what that means? That means God's going to bend his ear toward you and pay attention. Now, I'll either be praying in that room tonight or in that room tonight. If the light's not coming on in there, I switch over to here. But you know what I expect? I expect God to pay attention. I believe he'll, what did it say? Incline. I think he'll be inclined to listen to us. He'll incline his ear unto us. Therefore, will we call upon him as long as I shall live. God listens. He does. Father, I pray you would encourage us with that psalm. I find that psalm a real blessing. and very encouraging, very uplifting, knowing that you incline your ear unto us, knowing that you answer our prayers, seeing how personal the psalmist made that psalm, and we can do the same thing and make it ours. Lord, what a blessing that is. Thank you for desiring and delighting in answering our prayers. So in a little while, Lord, as we go to pray, I pray every person will be prayed up, confessed up, and we'll be ready to go to the throne of grace and do business with the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.